any other question I ask. I must also inform you that giving up this presentation at the time that we are also in the budget review and communication process. Therefore, you should make good use of this opportunity because some of our members are going to be able to decide from your presentation as to whether what you need is what you need and what you cannot need. So part of your presentation, I'm sure the challenges that we have and areas that we can do to intervention from this portfolio committee. I take it that we know each other. We don't need to introduce ourselves anymore after that is around tax and over. Then I will call upon you to go straight into the item. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jensen, and the members of the committee. Up front, I would like to apologize on behalf of the chairperson of the Arms Corps Board. But we have had he was here. That due to circumstances, he had to go back. The deputy chairperson similarly could not make it because he was doing well. But I would like to assure the members of the committee that our team here present will be capable of dealing with all the challenges, politicians, inquiries that the committee might raise. Assuming that you know everybody, let me hand it to the deputy or to go ahead with the presentation. Thank you.
There was a miscommunication between ourselves and our office about the time of the meeting. Then I talked to the secretary about that matter and said, we talked to the secretary about that administrative error. And we extend our apologies to what happened and our apologies to the resources to that effect. Thank you very much for your question.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I'll go straight to the presentation of the annual report. The presentation scope, or what I'll be presenting this afternoon, is the introduction. From the introduction, I'll move over to the comments of the operational functions. I'll start with the attribution, then the research and development, followed by the dossier. Thereafter, we'll deal with the performance on human resources. And then the corporate performance, that are the goals and objectives that we set ourselves for this period under review. Then the financial performance. Then I'll also deal with the challenges. And thereafter, we can respect to take action. In terms of the introduction, the Armament Corporation of South Africa, state-owned company limited, Armstrong. This is established in terms of the Armament Corporation of South Africa in this Act of 2003. It is a state-owned entity as contemplated in the Companies Act of 2008. It is listed as a Schedule 2 public entity in terms of the FMA. Further, it is regulated by the regulations issued in the terms of the PSA and the Companies Act. The Minister of the Concept of AMSCO is the Minister of Defense and Defense Veterans. And the Board of Directors is the Accounting Authority of AMSCO. Within the AMSCO mandate, the AMSCO's objectives are to meet the following requirements for the Department of Defense. It is to meet the requirements of the defense material needs, the technology development, research and development, also to do a research work, as well as the test and evaluation. All that needs to be done effectively efficiently and economically.
AMCO has also to adhere to the accepted principle of corporate governance and lawfulness.
Chairperson and honorable members, I would like to highlight few successes and the highlights of the period under review. First one being the fact that we achieved unqualified audit from the Auditor General. We're also in a position to retain the level 3 BBBE rating. In terms of the performance of our target, we exceeded all the acquisition and R&D performance goals in terms of the service level agreement. We're in a position to achieve the best results in 5 years on financial performance of the acquisition project. In terms of improving the efficiency in the project, and also improving the operations in the project, we embarked on ensuring that the project complies to the international standards of the quality management system as a base of being able to move forward. And we're in a position to have the project achieving the certification of ISO 9001. We're also in a position to construct the phase 2 of the infantry combat vehicle, which was included with the NEF, which is a big program. As I discussed it in the presentation, we realize that it is a major milestone in terms of achieving that particular project, which is in a position also to have a big impact in terms of sustainable capability in our defense industry. In terms of the performance of the operational function, looking at acquisition, I'll start with the maritime systems. The planned engineering changes on a Class 209 Mod 19 offered a Mod 1400 submarine were completed, and a paid training facility was successfully commissioned in July 2014. All the deliverables of the MECO 8-2000 AAM frigate are completed, including the fire and trials. In terms of the airborne systems, the light utility helicopter, as well as the equipment objectives, have been completed and delivered to the South African Air Force. The lead flight trainer, which is the Hawk, the delivery of the last element of the local maintenance capability commenced and will be completed in the year 2015. In terms of the medium helicopter, utility helicopter, which is the Oryx, we have to upgrade the communication and the navigation system of those 39 helicopters. And out of the 39 helicopters that needed to be upgraded, 10 helicopters have been completed, and the 29 will be delivered in February 2016. In terms of the program, which is the air-to-air missile program, the A-Delta missile, which was developing jointly with the country Brazil. The program itself, in terms of the development program, is nearing the end. We are busy with the flight test, which was successfully conducted. The three further flight tests are to take place in 2014-2015 to successfully complete the development phase. And thereafter, then we will be moving to the next phase, which is the production phase of producing those particular missiles. In terms of the land war systems, the long phase air defense system, which is now at the phase 2 of its phase, we completed the phase 1, now we're dealing with phase 2. Phase 2 of the GBED program, which entails upgrading of the fire control system of the 35mm anti-aircraft gun, is progressing well. The other milestone has been achieved, which is to contract Genel to develop the gun fire control post, and also the contracting of Rheinmetall air defense system to supply the integrated fire control system. New generation infantry combat vehicle that I spoke of earlier on. The new generation infantry combat vehicle that I spoke of earlier on as a major achievement in terms of the big project. The industrialization and the production phase was contracted, which is composed of 738 vehicles, which we have placed an order on the NAND level system, we had to restructure the program to ensure that we maximize the local production. And out of the 258 vehicles that are to be delivered, 21 vehicles will be sourced from Patria, land and the other nation, which is in Finland. And the rest of the vehicles, which is 217, will be produced locally. With all the spin-off of the sub-supply business support, which is also the supporting the energy in terms of the facilities. For instance, to say that the target of that particular vehicle is the design and development and manufacture by Kenya, which is the local production. And also to realize that all the weapons that are on that particular platform are also locally manufactured. So it's maximize the local manufacturing to ensure that there is also job creation and also sustaining of the capability within our local industry. The transfer of technology by Patria is underway to ensure that the successful localization and production of those 217 vehicles takes place in the name. In terms of the common weapon system, the new generation digital technical communication system, the radios, the development of all the communication elements is completed and currently is in the electronization phase. The system will be first in the first of its kind in the world to provide complete electrical interoperability between all the elements of the battlefield. This system is going to be in a position to ensure that there is a interoperability between the different armed forces, the Army, Air Force, the Navy, France, and all the other different armed forces that in the operation. Industrialization of the main subsystems will be completed during the period of 2014 and 2015. Production will also commence during the 2014-2015 period. Looking at the defense material disposal, the disposal of the redundant and obsolete defense material stock on behalf of the Department of Defense, we're in a position to dispose of the material in terms of the stock that was redundant to the tune of 14.7 million grand, which are mainly due to the vehicles as well as the latest spare parts disposal. Moving on to research and development, technology management, the management of technology, management of intellectual property, as well as looking at the technology commercialization or exploitation. The technology budget that has been allocated by the Department of Defense is to the tune of 573 million rands, and out of that particular amount, AMSCOR as the research and development entity of the Institute is allocated 14%, SIR is allocated 26% of that amount, the universities are allocated 0.6%, as well as the South African defense industry, which is allocated at 59%. We realize if you look at that amount that most of the attention development takes place in the kingdom. And that includes the NAND. So we find that if you look at the major contributors of that particular technology development, it will be mainly in big companies such as the NAND as well as the Reuters. The major technology projects that we embarked on during the period under review, if we are to look at the aerospace, the development of the guided weapon technology, the objective was to develop an all-weather air defense missile, which is getting on and is progressing well. In terms of the maritime, which is called IMC, we successfully tested the underwater glider vehicle for the mine detection as well as the underwater security operation. Also, in terms of using the technology that is used in the defense, which is the ultrasonic technology that was used in terms of ensuring that we were in a position to detect deep nature as well as detect other things in the water. That technology has been in a position to commercialize into the ultrasonic broken wave detector that is in the press in rail. And that project also, which we have with the Transnet, is progressing well in terms of detecting the effects on the way. And in terms of the aerotech, We have successfully modeled muscle contraction for soldier protection, bacteria for fair deposits. Also in terms of the hearing protectors in all in military noisy environment, we also successfully tested and are available for the use of our SME. Looking at the electronics, the part of the technology and development, we're in a position to develop a prototype or a demonstrator of a dual radar, X and L band. X band being a band that you can use because it's for short distances. And they are a way of operating in a position to be able to detect using the long range, which is the L, but also being in a position to track. As soon as they're detected, they're in a position to also see the tracking, which is normally done by two separate radars. In this situation, we're combining the two technologies, then it's done by one radar, that's okay. And being in a position to detect, and as soon as it is detected, then it starts tracking at the same time. So it's a new technology that was being developed. And we're in a position now to show that it is working. In fact, it was also demonstrated for control device in October at the UberCAD test range, and it works successfully. Gorig Test and Evaluation Facility, EuroTest. We established a new testing facility and capabilities in terms of doing some upgrades, EuroTest. We upgraded the national antenna test range, which is in Victoria. The vehicle performance measurement equipment, the walk-in climate chambers were also upgraded. Looking at the income of that particular facility, 62% of its income is generated through the commercial activities. The DoD transfer payment accounts for 3% of the income, and the military work accounts for about 8%. So you realize that the major percent of the income comes from commercial work by the government. Looking at our compound, the TEP range, which is out near Kimberley in the Northern Cape, we take a high precision global positioning system to accurately measure impact points as well as in a position to measure the allocation as well, the location of a particular target as well. And in terms of income as well, 51% of the income is generated by the foreign clients. 51% is also generated from the local commercial client, and 18% comes from the Department of Defense. So again, we realize that most of the income is coming from the commercial environment and from the Department of Defense. Still continuing with the detection, development, and the operational and science of the test work, the Defense Decision Support Institute is in a position to assist in the defense review committee with the cost estimator model. It has to have a model to assist the committee to be able to costing on the different microscope method working on the defense. So we came up with the simulation that's in a position to do that. It also supported the South African Army and the Joint Operations with the Adoption Development, where they are looking at the lessons learned and what needs to be implemented and improved in terms of the adoption. The armor development, which is also another division, the program to provide body armor to South Africa, South African National Defense Force to improve the rates of the armor packages is progressing well. This is a program where instead of using glass, they are using ceramic to reduce the weight of the armor protection of our bodies so that they're in a position to weight efficiently with less weight as compared to the old technology, which was having a lot of weight and also impacting the efficiency in terms of the weight. The Flamingo, another division, developed and upgraded the integrated ballistic workbench for simulator. The fact that doing a lot of simulation work for the South African National Defense Force. In terms of the technology, to extend the range of the munition with rich maturity, and the test evaluation has also commenced to validate the technology. The HAZMAT, which is a division that is producing the mask to protect against chemical and biological threats, that division is also in a position to generate 81% of its income from the commercial business, and the rest comes from
Department of Defense. So you realize that it's also one of those divisions where they rely heavily for their sustainability on the commercial work. In terms of the lab, which is one of the kind in the Southern Hemisphere, the core technique, where they're doing research and analysis of the chemical, biological threats, as well as the radiation, successfully completed the plant investigation in protection of the synthesis, verification, decontamination, detection of the chemical water, agents, as well as the toxic industrial chemicals, and conducted biological and later public health research. So that in the kind of research we have to be done in that particular lab. Now looking at the other entities of the Armstrong, which is the Goliath, that is charged with the task and the responsibility of doing self-line maintenance of our vessels and supporting the Navy. In terms of the frigate, the SAS Mandy, the project that started in May, and was supposed to be completed in June 2013, the project has to be reprioritized due to funding challenges, and the project is still has to be completed due to the lack of funding, as well as also the fact that we need to acquire long lead items. In terms of the patrol vessel, which is the SAS Java, the project started in March 2014. It was completed in June 2014. And in majority, all the tasks were completed on time. And for Umz and Kuru, we successfully completed the maintenance on that particular vessel. And then moving over to the task. In Jogu, the plant maintenance was completed on time as well. And the one who sees the requests are completed on time, that was in June 2014. And continuing the job, the plant and unplanned maintenance projects, looking at the submarines, the SAS Santa Teresa, the additional scope of the work which was identified as we started working on the submarine, resulted to that to the point where we need to revise the schedule. So the completion date was also revised. It was supposed to be at the end of October. And what is now ensuring that that is completed in 20 October. I must say that in terms of that work, it has completed in October. And is now with the completed also in the harbor tribe. Now we are busy with the sea fires. I was informed that last week they completed the test. And they have completed the sea trials. And then the children that's already in operation. In terms of the SAS and Queen of Charges, we revised the completion date from June to November 14th. Due to also the issue of the funding and the vaccine waiting for us. Looking at the independent vessels, the SAS Dragonstein for the Rhythmics, which commenced on the 5th of August 2018, and it was planned to complete at September 2014. It's still currently experiencing funding challenges as well. It is expected to be completed in January 2015. So it has been moved with the completion date to January 2015. Moving over to the human resources, starting to look at the target that we set ourselves in terms of improving our human resources to ensure that we're in a position to submit and the challenges and also deliver according to our required mandate. In terms of transformation goals that we set, to achieve 904 black employees, we're in a position to achieve 964 in terms of transforming the organization. And also in terms of transforming the gender, which is employing more females, we're in a position to achieve that as well. Looking at improving employment satisfaction survey, we're in a position to move from 62, which we had in 2010, and 2014 we're in a position to achieve 4.5%. In terms of the succession plan, we identified about 90 or so areas where we needed to have a succession plan to ensure that the sustainability of required competencies within the organization, as the employee life within the organization. We're in a position to identify 85 young engineers before the succession plan is taking place right now. In terms of skills development and programs that we have to ensure that we develop our employees, We've got the AMCO Senior Management Leadership Program that is taking place. We also have the international training intervention. We have an MOU that has been signed with the universities that we have identified with the critical training that is required for our environment. We decided to embark on this particular program in view of the fact that we realized that some of the training that is required to close the gaps and ensure that it was sustainable capabilities and capabilities are not available within the country. So we looked at other countries, mainly America, where there are courses at even at a master's level where we'll be able to train our people. Looking at the GoCaps Training Center, the MOU with the Department of Economics, Development, Tourism, and Finance. Before items placed in the electrical, mechanical, as well as construction, there is six. South African Navy students receive the practical training.
We have the terms or the intent?
Or the intent, sorry, thanks. In terms of the adult basic education and training, which is a program that we have to give opportunity to some of our employees that didn't get the opportunity to get basic education. That program also is going well. We have looked at it, modifying that program to ensure that some of our employees go up to matric. We also have a program which we call Talent Development Program, where we appoint graduates that with no experience come from universities, and we give them experience to get a 2-year contract, especially for the engineers. It's a good opportunity of taking those engineers and give them training in arms for as well as in the defense industry for them to acquire professional engineering, and after 3 years, they are appointed. We also have stage one undergraduate student deliveries. Moving over to corporate performance, goals that we have set ourselves for the period under review, the objective measuring the functions of in terms of the service level agreement, the objectives 1 to 3, the measure effectiveness of our acquisition function in terms of the contracts that we place as soon as we receive the requirements to ensure that we've got the funds committed, as well as looking at the cash flow. Again, plan cash flow to ensure that the money that we plan to spend, we're in a position to achieve, in fact, exceed the objectives on objective 1 up to 3. Looking at objective 3, which is a schedule of placing the orders on time, we've got an agreement in the SLA that we need to ensure that as soon as we receive the requirements, within 90 days, we place the order. On average, we're in a position to achieve 62.5 days. In terms of management of defense industrial participation, we're in a position to achieve 196 against 119 for the first. Objective 6, which is the management of the execution of defense and technology test and evaluation requirements for the Department of Defense. The execution by the AMCO Defense Institute of contractual milestone as agreed with the client. We're also in a position to achieve over 90% to achieve 99%. In terms of the dockyard, where we put an SLA also with the Navy, the management and performance against the dockyard mandate, the objectives were achieved with the reduction of 1 was achieved. And then in terms of achievement of the strategic objectives, looking at the strategic objective number 1, which is funding and growth, measuring the measure of expenditure complying and the efforts of to ensure funding to sustain the organization, all objectives were achieved, although some of them were achieved later than planned. And to look at objective number 2, which is our people, and the capability of our people to sustain capability, where we're measuring the ability to attract and retain employees through a positive organizational environment. The objective of achieving is the one that partially achieved, and some also later than the plan stage. In terms of the third objective, organizational effectiveness and efficiency, where we're measuring effectiveness and efficiency of Armstrong. The objective that was achieved, except one, and some of them also achieved later than planned. Looking at strategic objective number four, stakeholder relationships, the measurement of stakeholder relationships and the compliance to the good governance, the objectives were achieved with one partial achievement. Chair, I will hand over the financial performance to the CFO, who will go through a few slides to demonstrate safely. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, just to say that for the first time, this impact has influenced the financial results so that we can use and understand what happened. The first one is that we incorporated onto the same chips because we should have separate stability into arms, which is R&D, part of the arms group, with effect on 1st of April. The vacant land previously part of property and plant, that was reclassified as investment property during the year. Members will see that in the medical benefit fund, which is a separate fund. And the company used to fund the liability for post-retirement medical benefits was this year for the first time consolidated into the financials as it was being not a separate entity in terms of the accounting and standards. We are still currently busy with that process to see how we can minimize the investment, but I'll also talk in the figures when we get to the balance sheet. We have also increased allocation to fund operating expenditure, but that also goes hand in hand with additional services and systems required by the client. And then the high cost of depreciation coming from property plant for the fact that the value of some of the plant for the solid land and buildings were carried in the previous year, now we carry the cost of the additional depreciation. So then, thank you, members. The next one, the main results. The shareholder equity increase was about 7%, but the fact that the store growth in the value of the organization for growth. Our total revenue increased to 16.4%. If you take that's including all sales, also claim, rental, finance income, and other income, that increased to 16%. Our expenditure increased to 18.5%, and that's mainly due to the increased depreciation, as mentioned, and also the higher personnel costs due to the effort to fill all outstanding critical vacancies. So that influenced that. I can just confirm that in terms of the expenditure, we fully implemented the cost containment measures as looking at the net result, it gives us a 6% decrease from last year compared to last year. Also, excluded the implications of the medical benefit fund, which is actually a separate fund, and the money is not really available for on-call funding and operations because that is specifically supposed to fund the future liability. And moving to the assets, except from the property funds and equipment, there was some increase. The minutes must take the first two lines together. I think the 110 was in the previous year, just taking part of the 1.3 billion, so it was just sort of separately this year. But if the two figures are being added together, the members will see that there was a position of 75 million for new equipment, and then it was also impacted by the depreciation of 36.2 million. The investment property now is closed separately, and it's been fair valued at 1.3 million. In terms of the investment of the joint venture, we showed for the first year this year the percentage of third investment in AAE, because it is included for the first year, this time now, it's just a small investment of 100,000 for incorporation, but for the group side, it's falls out. In terms of financial instruments, that is the portion that belongs to the medical debtor fund, basically consisting of shares, 59% bonds, cash, and then also international exposure. It's managed by two investment portfolio of two investment managers in order to mitigate the required return on that to fund liability. In terms of cash, we did still generate some cash, 10 million, that was the net result for the year. After we invested 25 million, like I said, 25 million in the cash surface. If we can move to the next page, I think that members, I must just ask, apologize, this is not anything, this is the biggest package actually for us, so if I can put the members on this board, maybe just to look at that. If you see the total liabilities, it will be clear that we don't actually use external financing at this stage. The post-retirement medical liability affected there, 515 million is the net result, is also still 94.4 million. of unrecognized actuarial losses, so the tax obligation is sitting at 607 million, but in the rate, okay, for recognized, it's only at 5.3 at this stage. The deferred tax is also referring to the medical benefit fund, and that is the deferred portion on investment gains that is a timing difference where it will be taxed later tax. So the deferred tax is totally referring to the medical benefit fund as on for the tax paying entity. In terms of the deferred income, that refers to other funding being received for areas such as R&T and the doctor as well, which are then being recognized as managed utilized for specific services. So these are more funds that are being received at year end, the surplus content we made available to the doctor. We accept it and then it's deferred until the actual services can be in. Chair, I move to the next slide under revenue. The core area that the hospital uses to fund itself is basically the revenue which are sales, the other operating revenue, the allocation from government grants, and then investment revenue. The sales represents 25% of our income, other operating revenue 3%, the other sales force is 68% of the medical benefit fund, and then allocation is approximately 60% and investment revenue is 3% of our total revenue for the organization. In terms of the operating expenditure, that is increased, like I said, 18.4% during the year, of which personnel costs is 70%, and the external services, which includes all the domain related contractors, cost 7%, depreciation is 5%, and then something like the maintenance and water electricity is 4% of the expenditure. So the actual main expenditure remains personnel cost sitting in that figure there. In terms of the profit after tax, as stated, the 103 million. Increase of 6%. That includes the impact of the medical benefit fund for the current year. The taxation is also the medical benefit fund portion of taxation. In terms of the gains for capital liberation, that's the restated figure that was for the last year. This was the 101 million reflected there. That's what the impacts on the difference of bottom, total bottom line, total contents of income in the big difference there. The liberation took place last year. As we declared in the friendship, there was some statements due to the way it was the medical benefit was being included, the inclusion of the investment in AAD, as well as the investment properties that required some restatements in terms of the accounting status. So, and then we move to the last slide, that the effects on how the actual shareholder value grew in the company. In effect, the increase of fixed property, then the decrease in some of the additional expenditure, which then result in the net figure of 5.7% increase. So that basically has been stated as addressed to local priorities, which is affecting a 5.7% increase of shareholders in the organization. Thanks.
I'm moving over to the challenges. We've categorized the challenges in terms of the internal challenges that we experience internally with the organization, which is the insufficient funding. As a result of the funding model that we have, resulting to a situation where we got insufficient funding for acquisition, R&D, but mainly in the environment of the doctor. This is the area where we experience the insufficient funding that is not affecting the service delivery to the client. And then the other area of concern as well is the outdated IT and the infrastructure, which requires that it has to be renewed. So we are busy with the renewal of the application systems. Again, that we find this is mainly in Armstrong, but also the infrastructure is mainly in the culture. Looking at the human resource, we are faced with the challenge of an aging organization, where in there we have to ensure that the skills of the employees are existing organization is retained within the organization. So what we are doing, we are busy working on the skills development to ensure that we develop our employees, but also looking at the programs of ensuring that the skills are gained, such as the succession plan, as well as all other facilitated in the organization of data. Then we've got the issue of the AMSCO branding, positioning AMSCO, especially ensuring that this is the entire stakeholder.
improving the marketing efforts to reposition Armstrong brand, and then moving over to the external challenge, our industry. The challenge is to ensure that the capability within the industry is sustained, such that whenever we require that capability to be able to satisfy the requirements of our armed forces, that capability is available. In terms of retention of the capability and the capacity that is required, it is a challenge, as well as looking at the marketing and expansion of the opportunity to try and deal with the issue that I've explained earlier on, the issue of sustainable technology, the capability. We are looking at also the different markets, such as the SAEC, the EU, areas where we've got collaboration and agreements with other countries, such as BRICS, the international strategic partners that we have, to ensure that we collaborate and work together, to ensure that we share costs, such as the cost of development that we have done with the Brazil, where we're jointly developing the AWFM missile and sharing the cost with the kind of collaboration that we're looking at. As well as also maybe sharing the cost of industrialization, the cost of manufacturing that particular system, but also looking at further and then also even sharing the market as soon as the end of the capability can show them ready to be exported. In terms of also the ensuring the compliance with the government, which experience challenges there, and especially the initiatives of the government as far as the EE to transform the industry. But also in the area of job creation, as I indicated, that when we look at bigger programs such as what impact, like the infantry vehicle program that we create, we need to ensure that we maximize the local content of that particular program to ensure that job creation has opportunity to sustain future development as well within the industry. The other area where we're experiencing challenge is the area of the stakeholder relationship, which is very, very important in terms of ensuring that we get the support and the guidance that we require as an organization. And to deal with the challenge, we're looking at strengthening the relationships with the key stakeholders, especially those that are having a bigger impact in the organization, such as MOD, the DOD, the TCB, MB, which is the Patrolling Committee of Defense and Military Veterans, the DDI, which we are working with in terms of the defense industry, as well as the South African defense industry at large. The other area where we are looking at starting to experience challenges will be the issue of the defense review. We have gone through the defense review to see the impact of the defense review if it was to be implemented to AMSCO, and we have identified certain areas where we need to ensure that we get clear clarification, such as the role of AMSCO in terms of supporting the industry as well as the clients to ensure that those milestones that are set up in the defense review were in a position to ensure that they are achieved. But we're also looking at the issue of funding, because if you look at the milestones and the kind of capabilities that are required from AMSCO in terms of the manner of working in a different way, and the way we are working right now, because if you look at the defense review, it's emphasizing on jointness, meaning that we are able to now work differently, also requiring different competencies to be able to position ourselves in a position to ensure that we deliver in accordance with the requirements of the defense review. That is going to be a challenge. Also looking at the capacitating and the competencies and the competencies that are required if we analyze that defense review, like an example of joint. And also, being in a position to support our forces in logistics. So meaning that the way we do our logistics as well as the support concept will have to deal with this slightly different than the way we're dealing with it right now. So all those competencies will help to ensure that we build and also sustain. If we look at our processes, also we need to align our processes to be in a position to deal with the requirements of the defense review. Where the defense review is talking about the rapid increase of capacity and being in position to deliver as soon as possible, we need to look at our processes and ensure that we align and we fine tune them to be in a position to deliver as required by the defense review.
issues of legal compliance also that needs alignment. For instance, if you look at CSMA, you are required to follow the steps to be able to comply with the CSMA, but if you are required to directly complete, you are in accordance with the requirements of the defense review, there we need some alignment in terms of our competency. And quite a number of other legislation that we have to look at that line. Chair, that's the end of my presentation, and I think.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mayor, Honorable Scotana, in that order.
Thank you very much again. Thank you very much, my colleague, Madam Chair. Chair, similar to the previous reporting, should come forward with an unconscious or opinion from AFSA for the financial year 2013-14. There is a COVID team we are looking forward to ANCO to receive the head audit because there is always a risk for improvement. So we are expecting them to improve and move forward. The AG chairman noted some concerns on the expense management. The accounting authority did not take effective steps to prevent regular expenditure as required by TFMA. I just want to check, Chairperson, if there are any measures in place to prevent this irregular expenditure to happen. On page 40, Chairperson, of the annual report, the page 43, the annual report, the year under review continues to be marked by challenges of insufficient capabilities and insufficient funding. The funding gap still exists to maintain a better support capability. The geographic resources reflect a shortfall in both its human and technical capabilities. Chair, I just want to know from AMCO what is it that is being done to address the problems related to the funding model and to ensure an effective dossier. Then on the same page, Chapter 6, it is stated that AMCO board has undertaken to address the situation by embarking on an internal
study.
Same page, chair number 3,
paragraph
3.
Point 3, 1, 2, 3, so paragraph 4.
Yes.
Thank you.
The AMCO board has undertaken to embark on the in-depth study to analyze the underlying gaps and potential opportunity to turn the situation around in order to assist the transformation process. In terms of the study chair, what are the main findings or what are the main findings and what are the plans to address the challenge of debt? And Chair, maybe what might be the reason for the decrease in revenue by the AMCO program? And what are the challenges that led to the program achieving a set category of 90% instead of achieving the target of 90%, instead it achieved, it undershot to 75.5%. Chair, under human resources, in addressing the human resource challenges in short term. What do you expect to put in place to turn the situation around? Then my other question, Chair, is on page 77. Okay. That is the key component in the key subject. The key people in the KP that were not achieved during the 2020 financial year. That is the key IP for strategic objective number 2. That is entering for distraction measurement was not achieved. In fact, here it is a reverse from the previous year achievement of 66.8%. What are the reasons for the under achievement? Yes. And here also there are some key performance indicators which we have yet achieved. I would like to check from AMSCOM as to what measures are in place to ensure that all partially achieved KPIs are achieved for 2014-15 and beyond it. And why are some KPIs indicated achieved later than planned if they were not achieved, as in the case of the end of the financial year? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. I always enjoy our annual meeting with AMSCOM because it gives me the opportunity to revisit and catch up on my favourite defence development project, which is the female court queue, as you know, and I'll then traverse that a little bit later. Chair, I want to deal with five categories of questions. I want to deal with the appointment of the CEO. I want to deal with the core business, which is acquisition. I want to deal with the dockyard. And then finally, I want to deal with wasteful expenditure. And then I'll get round to the mad and sad queue-like projects in Oscar. So let me kick off. First, the appointment of the CEO. Chair, it's common cause that Mr. Mukwenazi is acting and that he's been acting for many years, and we do know that there's a process to appoint a new CEO. Now, it may be unfair given the fact that the minister appoints the CEO to pose the question to the acting CEO, but I do think it is a matter that needs to be clarified. And of course, the chairperson would be the best person to clarify, but perhaps another member of the board might choose to reply to this sort of question. But I think we need to have clarity about the current status of the process and the expected date on which the minister would make an appointment. So that's the first question. The second question, Chair, deals with AMSCOM's core business, which is acquisition. Now, every year, the annual report traverses a number of projects, normally the projects associated with what's commonly known as the farms deal. But it only traverses a limited number of projects. I'm interested in the existing projects which are not reported in the annual report. So I would like the following. In respect of the project to acquire a new VIP jet for President Jacob Zuma, what is the project name, the current status, and the total budget of that project? In respect of the project to acquire an offshore patrol vessel, what is the project name? What is the current status of that project, and what is the total budget? In respect of particularly the project to acquire transport aircraft, what is the project name, what is the current status, what is the total what is the current status of that project and what is the total budget. So that covers acquisition. Then let me get to the dockyard. I wonder if the acting CEO could explain why, if indeed the projects are underfunded within the dockyard, why it is a decision taken to allocate the work for the research of the FAS Amatoma to a company in Durban. Just for my colleague's benefit, the total refit of SAS Amatoma is valued at $335 million. And the question is, why was that work allocated to a company in Durban and not the dockyard in Simonstown? Then on wasteful expenditure, I'll share it's again common cause that I've butted heads with Arms Corps on the question of travel. So my question is, what was the total expenditure in the year under review on travel? And are there any plans in place to reduce that expenditure? Then finally, Chair, the mad and the sad. I wonder if we could, if the acting CEO could give me an update on the project to develop the female core shoe. But let me move on to another project which I see on page 8, which is Limits. I see that Virgotech are dealing with testing daring protectors in a military noise environment. Now my question here is, surely EMS, so that is slide 8 of the presentation, where I refer to Virgotech work. Now I'm delighted that they successfully modeled a muscle contraction system for soldiers, but I'm interested in the hearing protectors in a military noise environment, which I think is common cause probably earmuffs. Now my question is, are earmuffs not commercially available? Why can we not just simply purchase commercially viable and available earmuffs? That's these map. Let me then deal with the fact, which is on page 10, which refers to body armor. Now, what I don't understand is that we have soldiers deployed in conflict zones in at least two areas on the African continent where they are vulnerable, and it is again well known that our soldiers' body armor is not up to scratch. And it is incumbent on the Defence Force through acquisition on Arms Corps to remedy that. But why is it that we are testing body armor? Find the best body armor in the world, buy it, and be done with it. Why are we backing about? I just simply don't understand. Thank you.
The project under acquisition that you see, they are not in the report. In which report do you get those projects?
I'll go through some clarification.
Honorable Bobby.
So the other thing that confuses me, I saw that project on anything that was done, what is not right for president zone. So I don't understand what a proper project is, but if you can just give them the information, which project is my project? So don't assume that all projects are residential projects, but they are the state projects, or any other project. Why is the most important? I don't understand if you are.
You want to remain the proper honorable Skorama?
That's a person. The person. Chairperson, I don't see any logic for us here to discuss projects to attach to an individual. Unless we are clarified, then maybe you can understand what I mean. Then Honorable Moniz, explain to us which project you attach to who. You can't attach a project to an individual.
Thank you.
information, I'd be happy to share it. And I know my colleague did a judgment when I started to talk about the camera in the sky. Or
no, no.
The camera on the
no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no.
So, you see, our point is to add money to all the rest of people. So, when the story is started, people are very looking at the information, you don't come to see it. You see, also, when you start in the first commercial life and take out and fly from other countries, what do you mean? You see, you are not really helping us, but we are helping them. I mean, the way we should always come across the ground of Parliament, dealing with what he did. But if you are going to come to friends, you say, why don't you fly there, invite there? If you think that we can't do everything, give us that option. If you think that the people tell us, if you think that we can only do our question on the problem. So that's a change of policy. And you can't expect officials to come up in like that and start taking that here to commission and to commission. But they don't think so.
So
we
want to clarify on the
Chair, all projects that have been seen, as I said, I know my colleague Jitteri and I referred to.
He's the president of the country.
President.
Yes, he's the president of
the
country.
But this project,
what the Honourable Man was asking for is say, do not link projects to individuals. Not about being cheated or not being cheated. What you should do is just that you must stick to the protocols. If it's a presidential project, they should be presidential projects. Then, so I think that is what is the communicating now. Go on.
Thank you for the opportunity to clarify. Chair, it's well known and was confirmed by the Minister and has been confirmed by the Minister at a press conference 2 years ago that there is an acquisition project underway, probably in early phases, to acquire a new VIP jet for the President without naming the President. That is common cause. It is also common cause that there is a project underway, possibly in the more advanced stages, to acquire offshore patrol vehicles called Operation Byron. It is also, again, well known that there is a defense acquisition process underway, possibly again in the earlier stages of the acquisition process, and probably, I'd be interested if the CEO would confirm, probably referred to as Project Kitty and Project Nancy. And then it is also well known that there is a project to acquire, it is possibly not well known that there is a project to acquire a UAV. And I would be interested to know whether there is such a project. Because certainly there is evidence of a budget for such a project, and there's certainly a need for such a project in my view. So there's no mystery about the project, and I'm sure that the CEO could shed some light on the project.
I'm going to point the project, sir.
Honorable Whip, we will be followed by Honorable.
Chairperson, I just want to draw ourselves to procedure. We're here for the presentation of the annual report, and we must deal with the annual report and things that are in the annual report. Should we need to deal with other things, include the matter of analysis? So I want us to confine ourselves to that. Honourable members ask questions, they must ask questions that are in the annual report. Projects that are things to come that are not in the annual report. We deal with them in the next position.
Chair,
what is
the project?
Chair, first, this is not North Korea yet. It is not for the honourable member to prescribe to me what questions I may and may not ask. That's the first point. The second point is all the projects. So far as I'm aware, possibly say for the project on the UAVs, the current project, which would have been dealt with, I believe, by ArmsCorps during the year under review. And there therefore be no reason, A, that the projects were implemented during the year under review, A, and B, that they are, the questions are hidden. All I want is project name, current status, and
let me clarify one thing. Honorable members, there is no honorable member who is going to prescribe for any member as to how to answer or as to how to question. What we simply say here is that there is a presentation on the annual report. We should engage with that presentation. I will not, from where I am sitting, tolerate any form of prescription from anybody. Thank you very much. Honorable sir.
I should thank you, Mr. Vice President. We can't always, when we are in a meeting, discussing reports and projects and whatever, and everything that we discuss here, then we figure out just a piece of information and attach it to the President. I should think that's not compliment. It's not correct, sir. Really, it's not correct. Let's discuss what is before us so that we can all of us understand and get a sense from the department on what they are doing, on the job that they are doing. But to attach everything to the President, unnecessary or not, that's not something. And they were not clarified about that. We're still waiting a clarity from Honorable Majesty. Tell us exactly which project is attached to the President. Which one? We're not discussing the President yet. Why the President?
The latter matter, I think that has been clarified. We're not attaching a project to anybody. We agree on that matter. Any other? I must continue with questions. You're supposed to come in, Honorable Sotana.
Just on a point of order.
Honorable Mayor.
Is this is a newly established committee. We cannot set a precedent in this committee.
On the point of order.
Where the
point of order.
Sir, that would be quite funny when I put it. Because he's the first one to have started telling us about what the minister has said 2 years back. And that doesn't mean that the new committee, that means that the commission is using is derived from somewhere. He's the fifth, 26 months, and it doesn't mean that anything that he says is new. He's been saying things that he did before, so he must not start with a type of question. But what I'm also going to say is that the difficult I have, we don't want to stop you, but what we are saying is we're looking for one. While in the matter of how, like the one thing we can make to report, so that they can be able to help us during the MGSS process of how do we help the department in their children their goals. But the way he is telling us, I mean, like on the shoe project, he's been taking for 4 years now. Why do we expect us to be benefit of something if we could be trying to pressure the department for one project that we all know about it? And rather, that is the difficulty we have. We're spending time behind the debating with it rather than being able to assist the department. If that's how we want us to be able to handle the issues in the different circumstances, we're not stopping with one, but we're looking for benefit.
Honorable members, can I continue taking questions? I'm going to rule on point of order now. Yes.
Chair, I will be reading. We cannot set it, I'm sure that my honourable colleagues agree, we cannot set a precedent where a department produces an annual report, reports which is a high level report, and the committee is confined to asking questions only about matters that are in that report. Several other matters which are equally important, and if members have concerns, those should be raised, and it's in the public interest that they view it. And I've illustrated to my honourable colleague why I raised the issue of the female court issue.
You made your point.
in need of it. Thank you very much. Just to say, if I have to ask for another 4 years until I see a shoe, I'm not going to start.
So before going to order, so you don't get that shoe.
Honorable Sabana?
Oh, thank you, sir. Sir, I was just checking with the department on their presentation, really, for AMCO. On their presentation, they alluded to a lot of passion. I just want to check with them the challenge that they have on the performance of the function. Because if on their achievement, the problem is fine. But we must get even the challenge that they have so that we can assist them. And also on the other thing that the professor spoke about, the one undergraduate, I want to check with them what are their needs in terms of human resource. Because I don't know what they do one year. For it all, share all and buy it. Just for that.
Thanks,
Chair. Just on minor issues, which might be very big. The document you're presenting on is now a public document. On page 4, on your highlights, page 4 on your highlights, you say you've got a clean audit. Therefore, we need to correct that. You get a clean audit, you've got an unqualified audit. So, you must put your clean to the public. On the letter note, you seem to be a very good actor. We're going to get a response from a board member that the board keeps you in each and every year because you act so good as a candidate. If you are not acting very well, they would have kicked you out long time ago. So, but we hear from the board member. The other question is, on the 207 intensive combat veterans that you talked about, will we have the 70% local content? Besides the item that you mentioned that it will be manufactured, we do have an agreement with the TTI that whatever is manufactured in South Africa, it must have 70% local content. On human resources, I was just surprised how you achieved 964 of the employees of Lakewood Police coming instead of 904, because you would know as a good actor. But when you say you want 904 of your budget, and you've got that budget for 904, and how do you then meet the other 60 that you graduated to the plan for? The other issue is the MMU, the Department of Economic Development, I think it's about the dockyard, the department. I presume in CIA there was the case. I come from Mozambique myself. This then means that only people from the Western Cape will benefit because aligned to the department in the Western Cape. But if they don't care to be a South African thing, how do we deal with that? I have people from my constituency who want to be trained in that care. Now it's confined to the department here. I'm asking this to the CFO. I don't know if it was intentional or unintentional, that page was not there. You must find a way of getting that page. This is an annual report. You must report, and there must be a way, even if you send it to the community center. Now, last but one, it has been said that it's not easy for HDI to get through to procurement and to participate at AMCO. Hence, the new challenge on the other things. But on the face of it, it has been said, you can't get it, I mean, just tendering there and getting a job. What do we need to do? What legislation do we need to do The priority of government is radical economic transformation. What do we need to do? And lastly, your issue is that the difference you need on strengthening relationships, you mentioned the Kabbalah community. But what do you need to do and how do you can strengthen relationships and support the funds? Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable. So the community does not need a professional act. Honorable Isao.
Thank you, Honorable. My honorable thing is extra city about the dockyard again. I just want to know that we know there's insufficient funding coming in, insufficient capability and capacity within the dockyard, and to offer even that service to the South African Navy, which frigates and submarines. And consequently, the concern of this committee would be the commitment of South Africa to peace and security of the anti-piracy initiatives, which also largely depends on the South African Navy, particularly now that Tanzania has withdrawn from that agreement, and now the responsibility is with Mozambique and with South Africa. So there's a greater demand on our Navy, and I'm just wondering about those, if it be the ships that must service that particular objective, if that is not being undermined, and consequently not able to fulfill our obligations to SADC and also to Malaysia. The other one is, there's a clear indication that your performance is 75% out of the 90% that was targeted. So in terms of your KPIs, and there's a number of reasons given. I think just for the sake of our committee, we'd like to know if you have projects, there's definitely overruns, delays, etc. And if that can be a regular report back for us to then monitor and see the achievement of this department, of this particular on-school group, what do they actually do? Why are there those delays? Although it's achieved 3 months later, some year and a half, some 2 years later, there must be some motivation. And of course, what are the implications of those delays? Because there are implications may also be it costs money, it may impact on the performance of on-school or the companies or departments that actually serve. The other one I'd like to raise is the issue that has not been discussed at all, not mentioned at all, is the litigation issues. One case that is supposed to be in Lisbon for 192 million euros. That is one case against on-school. There are a few cases against on-school. What is the impact of that on budgeting and what contingent budgeting is taking place? Because the projected budget at the beginning of this year showed a great deficit. But I believe that in my correspondence with Armscore, they're very prudent, they're very discreet, and they're experts at handling their income and expenditure. That is the report I get. So they know how to manage. I'd like to know what contingents are in place to deal with litigation that is against Armscore. The other one is I'd like to know what is your vacancy rate and retention rate. There's a lot of investment now into our engineers, our artisans, and students in the Navy being trained, our candidates that are with the talent development program. And why do we only take 23 and not 34? Is it financial constraints or what is the main reason for not taking more? And what is the retention rate and what are we doing about it? If we're not doing anything about it and we're losing our young engineers to industry and corporate sectors, then we should know there should be a contract in place that permits the student that if he graduates, he must work for Armscore or for the dockyard or a particular institution within government. I think that we need to put in place. Otherwise, we will lose. We only train for the industry. The other one which you indicate, you've got the aging workforce. I'd like to have some sight on your Armscore age profile. What are these actually, and what is there, like we've got a threat now to our economy and also education of African regarding educators that are aging and not enough graduates being pushed to the institutions to fill those gaps in the future. So we are in a terrible situation now that we've got to address in terms of education. What is the case with Armscore? Are you preparing the young and grooming them to fill those positions, or are we going to sit with the crisis issue? I think the other one is the audit findings that was referred to earlier by my colleagues as well, but I think we need to have some explanation for the fruitless waste of expenditure. Read all the reasons in it. I'd like to know more detail. Why? Which contracts? Why were delayed? Why things were not paid on time? Why did you have to pay extra interest? And if you have the money to pay the account. So to justify why the concept not being serviced. from the audit finding, and I'd like the arms court to actually address that specifically and to explain to us what progress, what measures have been put in place to deal with those challenges that arms court. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Members. It is in order with you for indulgence in some cases to provide answers in writing, where such answers are of a detailed nature, which require specific numbers and figures. That is in order with you. I will be allocating questions to the team of aspects here with us here. And also allow the board members to come in as when required. The first few questions pertain to the unqualified annual financial statements and the expenditure management and the question around the irregular expenditure, which was for the honourable member. I will ask the CEO to come in on those two, and then lastly, the assets on insufficient capacity by the Ethiopia when Sokozana will come in. Can I ask you, Mr. Mbana?
Thank you,
Honorable
Why we are dealing with the unqualified or the online to apologize for that error of state clean audit. I'll ask the CFO just to get deep into the issue of the regular expenditure, and then I'll come in just to fill up some of the areas that you would be touching. CFO?
Yes, thank you. The regular expenditure refers to one principle being applied. We also apply 35% mandatory equity portion for things to be allocated. And that comes to a complete process where we find legal opinions whether we can do that. We also went to tragedy to find out, and we applied that. Unfortunately, until today, we haven't got information from it. And that expenditure incurred in that basis is then deemed to be irregular. So that is the basis for the irregular expenditure. There's not a proper controls, there are proper controls within also. It's also stated in the audit report that the board didn't comply with it in the part of mind. I think they have full visibility of a complete process, ongoing process to try to achieve what we would like to achieve. Unfortunately, we didn't get it in time, then that resulted to the irregular expenditure being declared in the financials. So the board also took the decision that on the 1st of September, we will fully comply with the triple BFA until we get the exemption from Treasury. So that situation is now normalized, and some of the expenditure going forward that from contrast to the debt place might still be declared irregular expenditure. That is the principle of the irregular expenditure.
Coming on the doctor's insufficient capacity, and also touch on the report and the related revenue shortage.
Thank you. I think when it comes to the issue of insufficient capacity and funding, it's an issue which we have engaged with the Navy and the Kitchen on a regular basis to address that. Say, how can we basically make sure we improve the financial for the doctor itself? And later, during the budget cycle, those are some of the things we're putting in place. However, what we then put to mitigate that situation and making sure that we're not compromising the maintenance, then basically there's project funds which can provide the project, which we then outsource that work, any capacity which we can handle as a doctor. We're regarded in us outsourcing the work, resourcing as well additional labor. In terms of contract labor, to be able to supplement our current capacity without compromising. So what we need to ultimately basically deliver in accordance to what funds are available, and also in accordance to the Navy's funds. Because the execution of the project is in accordance to the Navy's requirements for the different vessels themselves. So each vessel then will be handled accordingly as a project, and the necessary funding get advanced in that regard. But the issue there, in terms of saying the capacity, remains a challenge and something which is being addressed internally to keep up. from time and again that it will give us additional funding, senior funding. However, we've got a challenge of sustainability in all that funding. Hence, we can increase the levels of coverage. But in terms of upkeep, it's the funding we receive and our available capacity to make sure that we execute the different projects accordingly, without compromising the Navy's program, the country's program, or the different deployments. So that's the one challenge we're facing in the next time.
Can we move to the next question on the employment satisfaction survey? Mr. Mbadaki.
Thank you, Chair. We started with year 2010, where we commissioned study, and I think the findings at that stage indicated that there were a lot of actions that management needed to take. For an example, some of the issues that employees were highlighting were the issues of career discussions, too many acting positions, and I think also the issue of the acting CEO, you know, comes far back from 2010. And I think we've been making progress in filling a number of positions and reviewing our policies and improving in terms of our career discussion taxation planning. And we've been making incremental improvements. But maybe I must also highlight, at that stage we took a decision not to include the project as part of the assessment for a simple reason that we had industrial relations challenges with project. Flowing from the transfer of the doctor employees into ASCO. We managed to deal with all those conditions or services and align the condition of the employees of the doctor into ASCO's conditions. So the total alignment is speak. But then for this round, we felt let's include the doctor that we'll see from the report that we will report ASCO excluding doctor and a slightly higher, you know, a figure for ASCO excluding the doctor. But I must say, even for the doctor results, it was quite a pleasant surprise for us to say where we came from with the employees of the doctor and where we are currently. There is a significant improvement. But I think what employees were highlighting, it's so unfortunate, I mean, when we're doing this audit, because at the time that we also had some issues at the previous board and some of the events that were taking place and some of them were playing out in the media space. So employees highlighted those concerns to say, what is the future of us as the employees of AMSCO? What becomes the role of AMSCO in light of the defense review? People are interpreting the document differently. So I think those are some of the issues that people are raising. And over and above the challenges that were there with the board, previous board, and people are saying, when are you filling the role of the CEO? Or will we ever fill the position of the CEO? And I think for us, I mean, those were the main issues that employees were raising. I think that's where we were not able to make a significant improvement. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to add on to that, the organization has really been undergoing a terrible situation. The recent period has been unsettling for the organization, which might have impacted immensely on the satisfaction of the employees. The next set of questions include the following. The appointment of the CEO, what is the current status, and what is the capacity of filling that position. We have a new board which came into operation 1 May. And one of the significant decisions that we took as a board was that actually this Hollywood setup will stop. We need to have stability, want to restore stability within the organization, within the stakeholder network, the industry, but we are not going to cut any costs. So we have initiated the process of identifying the service providers who would help us with management of that process. So that is underway. It is our view, considered view, that in the next, in the first quarter of 2015, we should have him as CEO running the organization. That is the commitment of the board. And judging by the status of what is happening now, we believe that is achievable. The next set of questions was around acquisition. My understanding is that the the questions that have been raised, that's been explained. I don't know if I will get your guidance there, Chair. In terms of the VIP jet, offshore vessels, UAVs, where Honorable Mina was asking for the project name, budget, and related matters. I don't know if there was any finality on that matter before we move on to other questions that Honorable Mayor asked regarding the document.
Honorable Bowie.
No, I'm not going to go back to the board. I think you said that this agent has been on the acting CEO since 2010. Now you see, I've been at another long story since back to you. A very long story. Acting corners are not country quick. So here, this type of life is not helpful. We are saying, when are you going to be CEO? So what he is narrating challenges is quite big that he does in the CEO. And it's causing you upset. Rather than focusing on the real issue, you must keep on asking the same question. When are you going to have the CEO? Can you be frank, given the context?
Yeah, it's a pity, I think, Chair, that you have had to ask the same question so many times from the previous team. But this is a new team, and this is an innovative team, which definitely is going to deliver on its commitment for the appointment of the CEO. When you're talking about the first quarter of next year, that basically means that probably in January, February, we will have a CEO. We have already initiated that process. Now, the process entails appointing the service provider who's going to be managing the process. It involves engaging the shareholder, which is the minister, in terms of the requirements and the expectations. It involves the share, the shortlisting. It involves the interviewing of all the shortlisted candidates. And then, once we've come to identify the candidates, we still need to give candidates an opportunity to decide on the offer. Now, that takes time. Now, if you look at what we are hoping to achieve, it's really within our power to do that. It should be in the first quarter. So it's just that we cannot say it should be in January or February. But even though we are hoping that somebody will be in the CEO.
Yeah.
I think when the correspondence that we launched with Armschool, the question posed to Armschool, and according to the answers given to us, it indicated that Armschool and OG was in advanced stage of this process. Now suddenly there's a new team and everything is thrown out and a new process. What has happened to the previous process and what's wrong with the previous process? Why has it not been concluded? Because we were promised they were on the verge of things. That was our understanding. So I don't know what actually happened to those processes, but just in general.
Where did the process go? Mm-hmm. When the minister looked at everything that has been happening in the organization, assessing the risks associated with whatever we had at that point, she made a determination that this process should be reinitiated and implemented by the current board. Now, which we appreciated that, because what it meant is that we will take full accountability of the process end to end, monitor it every step of the way, and be able to account as to what has happened. Now, that process, as much as it might sound clear, it still allows whoever might have applied previously to join the process. So at the end of the day, we would like to be managed by issues around transparency, tight governance, and ability to account. If we can't account for, if we have to take over a process that we don't understand what happened and so on, we will have a challenge.
Labor on the
second, this is an institution. One or individual moves out of the institution. The position remains in the institution. We still account for what happened. I see the honorable members are still agitated on that matter. Just unfortunate you cannot appoint the CEO in the CDA. Honorable employees.
You see, sir, this one is amongst us. That's you. You are not the first one that's having front of us from us. The law process is coming up. But this is the point of contention. You know? Not even as the man, but talking about the man that is different. Is putting together an employee to manage a project. The money is coming this way. And it's a project expenditure. It's not an easy thing. I'm telling you now, I know that it's like the company is here. And I'm reading it. Because it's an expenditure that you can't account, it doesn't come out of your pocket. It comes out of the taxpayer money. That's why I'm interested in when are you ending this project? And more than that, you are making organization to believe it's unstable. I hear you coming and going, and the reality is that there's no way. Who should suppose that we have done this job? We are spending money on maintaining and acting zero. And it's not that they are telling us up. They're telling us about transferring all these things, but not telling these things. The reality is that they have not done anything. And then come 2 months, we'll be telling us the same thing. And we're seeing that we are being answered. And how we are raising this question. And it's not the only one.
Another one more?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think the echoed sentiments by Honorable Yan. I think we were here. Isn't this the fifth parliament that we taught this process at an advanced stage? Would you love to request the board to perfect this process? In fact, before the end of the year, because this process is not as complex as it is actually. So we will be able to advise them that before the end of the year, we will complete the process because this is the one that contributes to what I'm understanding is instability. And second, I wanted to say was that with regard to the questions that we asked by receiving, which are not necessarily in the report, my submission will be unfair to count out the board and to answer things that they are not prepared to. But we raise an indictment to grant that they do other things that seems to the committee so that we get fair information. Which were interested in all these questions that you asked by honorable member. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay.
I have 2 points. First, on the appointment of CEO, I think I share the sentiments of the other honourable members precisely for that reason that I raised. It's clear that a new process is underway, and I support the view of my honourable colleague that we request the board to look at whether this process can be fast-tracked, obviously provided that it does so within all the prescripts. The second thing, Chair, is I would ask that the board provide us with a written report on the progress in respect of the CEO on or about the 15th of December before the summer recess. We will then have the advantage of being fully informed about progress in respect of the appointment of the CEO. But on the second question, Chair, I have posed questions about aggregation, which are high level, and which I am absolutely sure the Arms Corps team can reply to. If there are specifics that they cannot reply to, there's no reason why those specific issues should not be provided in writing. But I just wanted to remind my honourable colleagues that these are very high level questions, and I'm quite sure that the replies are known to the Arms Corps board and to the acting CEO. I do have a question about the project names, the current status, and budgets. I'm quite sure that that if I rolled the CEO out of bed at 3 in the morning, he could reply to all of the questions in a couple of days.
That is what I love at least.
Okay. I think you don't have any questions. All questions were answered.
No, we've got a whole bunch
continue.
Answer the question. Thank you, Chair. On the issue of the CEO, the message is very clear, and we're going to take that to the board on the fact-checking and the agency of the process, and also providing continuous feedback as the honourable members' requirements. The next question that was asked was around the decision to have SAS Amapola and in Durban instead of Local. But that's the opposition question.
I think as we're dealing with the other questions, the question was touched on in terms of the capacity. There's an issue of capacity in Georgia, which we are busy working on in terms of increasing the capacity to be able to deal with the requirements of the Navy. We've got an agreement with the Navy in terms of their requirements, what we can handle. As the general manager of Georgia has indicated earlier on, that in situations where we are not in a position to handle the amount of work that gets presented to Georgia, either we outsource the work to the industry, and the industry does the work, so as to ensure that the service that's supposed to be rendered by the Georgia to the Navy, the service is rendered. In some instances, instead of outsourcing, trying to source some of the work, which was deemed it to be critically enough to be insourced. So we are in the process. You might have seen in terms of the way we have been appointing the artisans, the boilermakers in the past financial year, in terms of the numbers, to increase the capacity to the required capacity of that is required by Navy. However, if you are increasing the capacity, I think the honorable members have to understand that it cannot be done overnight. You need to build and try to manage that process of building and the work is required. Then we still have to show that those systems are maintained, as it was mentioned by the honorable member, that there are certain operations that are quite critical and decent that are required from the Navy. So as to sustain those systems and ensure that those systems are in a position to do the required work, we need to ensure that some of the work gets outsourced and then the work is dealt with by the industry instead of the work being dealt with by the Georgia. We are working jointly with the Navy in terms of ensuring that we identify those gaps. The general manager indicated that we seem to be getting also the additional fund from the Navy at an agreement with the additional capacity that is required to ensure that we build the capacity with the required capacity of the Navy. So that is the situation in terms of the capacity. But I would also, like to touch on one question that was posed previously, the one of partial achievements of KPAs and the later KPAs that were achieved. It's for a number of different reasons in terms of some of those that are delayed. You realize that some of them are delayed because of the date that we set ourselves. And due to some other reasons, the date was not met. However, we met the KPA later than planned, but it was achieved. In some instances, for instance, if you look at the dockyard, you see that they have achieved 55% instead of 90. And it's for that particular reason that we've just spoken about the issue of capacity and the issue of long lead time parts that are required in some instances whenever we maintain the vehicle. So instead of making this agreed schedule with the Navy, then they achieve later as well, and then the non-achievement, they achieve 45%. And in some instances, you find that because they are strategic objectives, some of the situations like the SLA, we have to review some of the discussions that we're engaged in with the DOD, that 10% that we have with the funding model, we have to review because the long discussions we have with the Department of Defense indicated that they are not in a position to settle for the 10% because of the budget constraint. So they said they would rather carry on with the current situation of more of funding the organization. So we had to take it out, review, and realize the SLA, take it out,
and then agree on what we finally agreed with the SLA and the applicability and the SLA was signed. So it was achieved later than planned due to those discussions that had taken place. You see the same thing also with the AD logistics. We did a study. We realized that the study was not accurate enough in terms of the information to give us enough information to be able to take a decision. So we changed the internal study to get external data taking place, according to the sample, so that they got enough information to be able to take the decision. So instead of making the deadline in terms of the date, then we didn't meet the deadline in terms of the date.
Another question was around travel, the total expenditure on travel, and what is, if there is any plan in place to reduce the expenditure, assuming it is travel expenditure, that is the pilot under review. I'm not sure if we have that kind of data with us.
Thank you. Chair, in terms of the figures, one would not be in a position to present the figures, so I guess you can take the first. It's the amount that is being budgeted for, and we are normally very strict when it comes to such expenditure that we stick to the budget. As I am saying, we don't have the figures right now, so that could provide it. So, in terms of the traveling, we are looking at fine-tuning our budget and look at the measures of ensuring that we improve in terms of prioritization of expenditure. That we do every year as we finalize and submit our budget to the board, which is get approved by the board, in terms of looking at areas where we can expect some savings. So this one also, it gets attended, it's not there where you come, we do attend to it as well. Like we do attend to other expenditures in terms of products.
Could I just weigh in here? Just I just want to make a point to the board. The issue of the previous board, and I emphasize the previous board, there was substantial evidence that the previous board, and particularly the board before that, attended large numbers of defence shows, that non-executive directors attended large numbers of defence shows, traveled business class and first class, used 4 or 5 star hotels and the limousine service. And I have all the detail. I can tell you exactly how much the 20-minute delay of the limousine cost the taxpayer in London. Now, I emphasize that they, the previous board, I'd like a commitment from the board to look into this and to look at cost containment measures, because the party that was at fault in the previous board was the board itself in any respect. I absolutely accept that acquisition is the core business of Barnes Corp, and it would be necessary from time to time for key officials to attend international defense shows. But I'm asking the board for a commitment to look into this matter and to apply the necessary cost containment measures. It was a major issue a couple of months ago.
Thank you very much. Look, be very frank about it. The expenditure that has skyrocketed when the Minister of Finance is insisted on cutting down the cost, is going to be a problem for us. We don't want to say all of the advantages that we think this government is quite willing to allow project expenditure to become an easy game. It's something that we need to very concerned about. If the board has to take it seriously, I feel the capacity of our people. It's not something that you have to worry or worry about. You're quite clear. The localization is not being prioritized. It's police and it's police. And you know, if you're dragging the people, I never want to resolve the issue of the CEO. The 5 years. But the 5 years can cut short. It's a common situation for ourselves. We are going to prioritize. So the board can be more expected than the work can be supposed to be done.
Chair, we've noted the input and the words of wisdom.
which we will refer to as, in fact, we did make a commitment right at the beginning in terms of this aspect. So we can assure the committee that from the board's point of view, we will not be found money on it. The next question was, which I don't know what was the conclusion on it, was around why we kept in some instead of buying. That was in reference to the Holy Armor development and things like that. I don't know if that question has been taken care of. Is there still any clarity required on that?
I think let me just explain in terms of the process of acquire whatever product is acquired for the Department of Defense. Once we get the requirements, we go through the process of doing a feasibility study where we determine, are we going to develop this project? Are we going to buy it off the shelf? Are we going to upgrade the existing product? And based on the analysis, the decision is made in terms of those three options. Whether we are going to upgrade the existing one, are we going to buy it off the shelf, or are we going to develop it? And all these projects, they go through that process. And once the determination in terms of the analysis and the requirements of the SNCF, then the decision is taken that we buy it off the shelf. And that we're not going to develop it, we buy it off the shelf. And if it means that in terms of the analysis, it has to be developed, then we have to develop it. And the number of reasons why we're going to develop such a product. A truck which is commissioned is not the same as a truck that is delivered. There are certain specific military specifications that are required for that particular truck. So one cannot just merely by hearing the word truck and say, why don't you buy it off the shelf? Because it's a truck, It's not the case. Similarly with those tools that we have indicated in terms of the forces. When it comes to the protection of our forces, one of the things that we have found is that the profile of our population is not the same as the profile of any population in the world. So we do a profiling of our armed forces to ensure that whatever we buy for them, it fits them, and it fits the purpose that it's supposed to do in terms of that particular point, especially the body arm. You realize that if we've got female soldiers who must use the body armor with a certain profile, which is based on our diversity of the population of South Africa, where we've got the diverse population. So we cannot buy, you tend to find that you can't go to Germany, where they've done their own study in Germany, and came up with a protective clothing that suits the Germans, and think that it will feed the South Africans in terms of our profiling of our population. I just wanted to make it clear that there is a process. We don't just decide that we're going to be buying off the shelf. One would say a boot is a boot, a shoe is a shoe. But a military shoe and a commercial shoe, they sell totally different types. Because there's a requirement from the user environment where it specifies that this boot is supposed to be operating in certain temperatures, in certain humid areas, in certain muddy areas, in water and all those other areas. And it needs to do a thorough research and analysis to see that when you present that kind of a boot to the soldier, it will meet all the requirements of the client. So you cannot just go off the shelf and buy a boot and present it to the client because it's a boot. So that answers the number of all the other elements that we do go through a stringent process that determines, are we going to buy, are we going to develop, are we going to upgrade? And we make it based on analysis and scientific and engineering research that gets done to come to that kind of decision.
Thank you. Can we take the next question on HR, which is the microphone to Telco? So another member indicated that we've highlighted a lot of achievements and not so much of the challenges. And cited an example of 31 data factories that we have. What can be done? What kind of support do we require? But there's also another question on the vacancy rate and the retention rate that we have
to say, Paul, if you can just check on that and then we'll move on to the next.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll start with there was also a question about the target of 9 or 2 and that will receive it. I think that life is driven by, like Mr. Oduba has touched on to say, you know, the money that we got from additional resources we got from the Navy to appoint more artisans. So it is an opportunistic opportunity we can utilize. And also, we did absorb some of the contractors and made them permanent in certain business areas, especially in the Tokyo as well. So I think those were the additional opportunities that arose. In terms of the bursaries, I think if I recall very well, around about in 2010, we reported I think a number of about 6 bursaries that we had at the time. So we've been improving and increasing the number of the bursary intakes. And I think we do really appeal to our management, especially during budgeting time. But what you realize is that it will serve as no purpose to always wonder the vacancy to try and recruit when the person is about to leave or has left the organization. But because, I mean, as we attract the engineers, we still have to develop them because it's in a highly specialized environment within the business setup. So we are trying to attract them from school and making sure that we expose them also with the TDPs. And in that way, we have seen that some of the TDPs that we appointed about a year or two ago are already, you know, beginning to deliver and performing and value in our environment. So I think those are some of the interventions that we're looking. I'm sure that number will grow. The other aspects that we'll get additional resources from the DOD, where they will be giving us a substantial amount of money to try and recruit additional 20 or 30 or so students in that particular program. So I think these are some of the interventions of this. But in terms of exposing them, either they perform their final year, we begin to try and expose them in our environment, and then we lock them to contract. But in terms of the staff turnover, I must say really it's been below 4.5%. We have not really experienced much resignation from technical people. Except that to say, obviously, we do lose them to our competitors in organizations like CFNR, but I think it's a negligible amount. And whenever we put the training programs, we will be sending people overseas, we will be locking them into long-term contracts. So we do put that as a standard procedure. There was another question in relation to the age profile of our staff. Our concern is really between the ages of 50 to 65, where you see most of our employees are arriving in that area. There are about 40% of our staff are between 51 and 65. The number of about 570. And as you look closer between 60 and 55, it's even higher. It's a higher rate. So I think that's a lot of concern. And hence, we're trying, you know, to come up with all the interventions, trying to correct, to try and take as many from the bottom and really correct them and transfer skills with the succession planning. But I think we are coping. And of course, additional resources will can only assist.
The next question was around the procurement of the 2017 infantry combat vehicles, as to where they is definitely going to be 70% local content. I don't remember what it was.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of that program, as I indicated earlier on, that we have to structure it to maximize the local manufacturing economy. I wouldn't be in a position to be 100% sure that it is more than 70. One would have to look at that because we're already joined with CNF in trying to maximize the local content. But if one looks at the major content of that program, especially the one on the sea, for instance, that the turret is going to be local, even the boat is going to be local, we might pick up challenges when it comes to the right plane, for instance, the engine and things like that, and that we go to afford. But if you look at the ammunition, you look at the body, you look at the turret, all that is going to be manufactured in South Africa, and that's going to be high content. But to what percentage, I'm in a position to give the exact percentage.
Thank you. The last two questions, one which I'm going to ask Mr. Bodua to answer, pertain to the MOU with the Dockyard, with the Department of Tourism and Economic Development, and the potential that is only focusing on the Western Cape to the exclusion of other regions. The Honourable Member wanted to check on how that can be improved. And then the last question, which the CFO is going to ask, is the number of mitigating issues, the potential impact of such mitigating cases against AMSCO from a budget point of view. Can I ask you, Mr. Kutuba, to...
I think on the issue of the MOU, there was a case with the Department of Economic Development. Yes, it was one in one of our first phases of that exercise. But I think we are exploring means of expanding it to make sure it's greater involvement for the country. And we were a few weeks ago starting on the Eastern Cape, that the case is going broader in the country. But we are looking at other means of attracting people across the country, not blocking it.
Yeah. Thank you. The issue is in the areas that is applicable to OSCO itself, we provide for that. In all those financials, there's a contingency we provide for. The specific one mentioned by one of the members, the one the HBA might provision for that is reflected in that financials, set financials of the contingency. So that one can agree on that. If there's anything successfully accounted for, it will be covered by it. So otherwise, we do that for ourselves.
It covers the number of questions that were posed that I have on my list to the exclusion of the detail that the Honourable Mr. Mayor and Minion wanted to get information on. Yes.
Thank you very much. We are about to wrap up for Honourable Members. Can we wrap up?
The point we asked the question, I would like the question answered.
Is there a question? Which question now?
That is the question in respect of defense acquisition, in respect to the acquisition of UIP aircraft, offshore patrol vessels, on board aircraft, and levy. There is no reason that a House Call Board could withhold that information from funds. So that it would be unconstitutional to do so.
You want them to put it in the annual performance plan?
I just want the information.
Okay.
High level question. Unconstitutional not to disclose that information. There is no legal basis on which you could withhold that information.
Honourable Olly, to the floor, please.
No. At least here we must come to the defense of the department. I mean, we are not in, I don't think they say they don't want to act. What was said, what is in the report? Can reflect what is in the report. And quite clearly, if you're coming up with a new thing, you do then expect that. You said it in yesterday, go to the chair and the chair will help you to get the those answers. But you can't take your own methodology. It's not, it's very threatening the Constitution, but all of us can do the Constitutional Court of Appeal. It's not for your area. The point is very simple. Let the Parliament act and let it all protocol. Let it come to very fast.
If Hanscom are not prepared to answer the question, then will they explain why they're not prepared to answer and what legal authority they have not to answer?
No, no. We'll come to that. Let us give directions.
There's nothing wrong with the questions that are being asked by Honourable. But there are details that he needs, which all of us can agree that are not in the annual report. So I would request, if AMSCO can provide the answers and the details now, they should say so. If they can, they should say so that in the future we could get them.
Hello? AMSCO?
Let me check with the SMTO if he has
any knowledge of the information requested and or the any other way of handling the request from Honorable Mayor.
When it comes to the budget, because they said that we would not be in a position to state the budget because it was not prepared for anything. But what has been mentioned, it's not project that are already with AMSCO, with the exception of the offshore and onshore, in terms of the requirements. We have the requirements, we're in the process of processing the requirements. But the others that have been mentioned, for instance, the DIG checks, where it's not yet with us. And then the other one that was mentioned, the UAV project, I'm not sure whether it is with AMSCO or not. Hence, we don't find it in, and also in the name, I don't know whether we've got the name. For instance, that transport aircraft is not also a finalized time that they use as a requirement. What we're saying is, you find that the red that gets done in terms of finalizing the requirement in the DOD. So they were to finalize the requirements. As soon as the requirement has been finalized and it gets given to AMSCO, then AMSCO starts working on that project based on the requirements that has been finalized by the DOD. So what I'm saying is that the one that has been finalized and handed to DOD is the offshore and onshore patrol boats. Those are the ones that proceed with the process. And we cannot be in a position to give you the budget, because the budget will be determined by the response of the industry. As soon as we have gone out on an RFO, then get the RFO process, we are in a position to know exactly how much it's going to cost. Right now, we can give information that we got from the research, because there was a request for information which went out, and then we had that process closed. And after closing that process, it moved over to the process of the request for offer, which we are busy waiting on right now. So in terms of the estimates, we've got an estimate, which is not the budget. It's the information that we gather out of the request for information. Once the process of the RFO has been completed, and we are in a position to place the order, then one will be in a position to know exactly. We need to go back then to the user and say it will cost money. So we can't have a budget for it. And the rest, like I say, if they're not finalized, then we don't have the budget. No, we have the projects that are in position to help.
Thank you very much.
That's all we have, I'm sure.
It was simply the simple question that I was asking was that because you said you're starting the report, in which report did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what sparked the debate again. Which means that next time we need to have a committee. Need to sit down and determine when we deal with these reports, how do we deal with matters which are not in the report? Do we ask individual members to submit those questions so that I can forward them or something like that? Because you may end up giving something that is out of the report for the whole duration of the meeting. I'm going to wrap up on that with something new.
Monsieur, thank you. I just want to show the question I was talking about short while before call of measure. The fruit of the virtual expenditure motivation, so that's going to explain in my absence. The 393,000. I said that it was explained, that's fine. If it wasn't explained, then of course I'd like to hear that. The other one I just want to note is the MBDA. Commitment to the FDA, 9.6 million, of which some 30 million was paid over, and it's an outstanding amount of 9.3. But South Africa has also failed in its responsibility in that the cost is only reduced by 69%. So, this is a plan from that. However, the issues that were raised in terms of the VIP playing the offshore, those are mentioned even in our document on the chair with the annual report last year in the discussion. It actually appeared the offshore vessels and dodging and fire, that's what we picked up. The same thing with the language issue, the minister raised the issue as well, when we transport aircraft that was required and going into the future, and we even raised it in our discussion, there is a need for South Africa to have this. I think those issues were raised in our discussion, even when we did a visit for the borders, related issue of the UAV, the unmanned vehicle. and so everybody is using some, and the outcome is that Kalimat and others that are also working on the drone. So it's not something which is not known, and we've raised those issues that is being used. In fact, when we're approaching, it became a critical issue of how do we manage the borders, is there sufficient manpower to cover all the borders. So I think those are things that were happening because of the situation. It's not something we're trying to impose on a report. But also, from outside, many of the targets, if we look at all our reports, targets have been changed, have been reduced in a number of departments. So it doesn't mean when targets have been changed, if people only report on targets, that we cannot ask them questions about other matters that are taking place in the department which has not been put as a target. We have every right to interrogate departments in the interest of our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, then if that's is there another comment?
Chair, I've just got a point of clarification. Thank you for replying to that question. I now understand where the various projects are in the acquisition phase. So I have two follow-up questions on Project Biro, which is the offshore patrol vessel. My understanding is the acquisition plan, as you correctly say, there would be no budget, that there would be a ceiling price. The ceiling price for Project Hoofcancer is $15 million, I think, over 10 years. What is the ceiling price for the Project Biro and over what period? And just to make a comment, and this is not a directive like the
you are not realizing the mission is coming.
Now this meeting has come to an end. Now, basically, the size of market at the moment is the American government and the president is currently doing very well in terms of having an efficient business. Obviously, you have an efficient business. You can achieve your objectives as you do, and do your financial controls as you do. The only thing that you can do, which is surprising, is to appoint the CEO. And then I think you should get that right, and then continue to be a part of the committee.